Man, amen. Well, good morning, church. Hey, I'm so excited for this service because I know what a blessing it was on this mission trip that we went on. We have testimonies this morning, so you're going to have to bear with us as we try to shuffle the people in and out. And team, there's going to be a light in the back. That means cut it next, all right? So, because I know how that is. You get too excited and you keep going. So, and you know what? It's because it's exciting to what the Lord has done in this mission trip that you guys sent us on. Many of you supported this, and whether financial, through prayer, we were posting constantly, and you guys were reacting here. We were one in the same in the body. And so that's the awesome thing about this trip. So I want to pray and ask the Lord to just bless this time together and that He will be glorified. So Jesus, thank you again that we can just give testimony of your goodness and your abilities, Lord. Lord, to touch different hearts, different nations. And Lord, how you use people like us. So we're thankful, Lord, for this church. We pray, God, now that you would just bless this service. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Tim asked me to share something about missions and the why. And you know what? First of all, I want to say thank you to Pastor Tim because he is 100% about missions and what we're doing. I'm so happy of that because I know some churches are not mission-minded, and that's sad to say, really. And I know that not only him, but the assistant pastors, the elders, they were excited just as much as he was to see the Lord send this team out, and we went. And it was important, though, to understand one thing. Why we went and how we went is because, you know, here, in this fellowship, you know, we have the Acts 2:42 belief. And yes, in that, it is sound doctrine, teaching the word. That's what we get here. You guys, you don't know how blessed you are to know that, hey, you're going to come here on Sundays, Wednesday, or whatever other days there is through the week and get the word of God here. That's wonderful. But also fellowship, even like we're going to have some fun coming up, as was announced on our Christmas party. And yet, we know also in the evenings here on Sundays, there are prayer meetings. And prayer is so important because we understood the needs of the prayers while we were in Brazil, and that made a world of difference. But now what is more important to me is that Pastor Tim and the leadership here are being obedient to the Great Commission. And that is to send out and preach the gospel. We can never forget that. That was what our Lord said that we must do. We have a call on our lives to preach the gospel. And that's one thing, you know what? I know that, you know, we have to do this, have spiritual eyes. Because you and I see this world is getting more crazy. I mean, and what we're looking, I mean, what they're talking about, AI and all this, what's coming up, things are rolling faster than we think. And yet, you know, in our crazy world, it's not falling apart. It's falling into place. All right? Understand that. Because as we look at the Word of God, Jesus told us all these things beforehand, and that's important. So, why missions? That was the main question for this morning to each one of us. And I know it is the influence of obedience into the hearts of people is why we go. Because we are taught in this church through books. We don't jump over certain ones because you can have a church that's jump over because they don't want to do missions. over the text of the Great Commission to go out. We don't hear. We go right through the Word of God, and the Word of God tells us about this preaching of the gospel. And this is so important, because a church that is obedient is going to be a blessed church, an exciting church to be at. And yet, because we go through the Word, we see obedience as the big topic in the Bible. Because think about it. We see the Father sent the obedient Son to the cross. Jesus had to be obedient. And yet we also know that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to deal with us individually. And He had to be obedient. But it's through the Holy Spirit coming into each one of our lives and telling us what to do next. That obedience is so important to the believer themselves. And this is what I'm so glad to see. Because I remember when we were going through the Word, and when we're the topic of Abraham, and that picture that we see, because it's so really a picture of the Father and Jesus, is when Abraham took Isaac to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son. You remember the story. And that story is such a picture of God sacrificing His Son for us, an offering. And yet, in that context, that was in Genesis chapter 22, that story. But the end of the story, and well, kind of the end of the story, in verse 18, it says this: "In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Interesting. When Abraham went to do that in obedience, it's all about obeying. And that's what we want to be. When you think about the church, the acts of obedience, it does great things for the kingdom of God. And that's what we want to do here at this church. And because to understand through the Word of God, obedience is key, but also knowing the power of God through the gospel. And that's what Romans 1:16 deals with. You know, the gospel speaks of the cross of Christ, and that's what we went to do. Talk about Jesus. And yet, you know, I know when we were signing up and thinking about going, many people think, not me, I don't know about me. And yet, you know, you think about the missionaries. Paul, of course, being one of the greatest we know in the Bible, but how about the other missionaries? The ones you don't read in the Bible. Maybe there's some, but you don't know who, you know, who they were or what they were about. But there's also others that are not even mentioned in our Bible, but were great in affecting the world. Well, you know, when we go out, a lot of people have the same mind. Oh, well, it's not me. I don't know if I can do this. But think about it. We're coming up on Christmas. And when you turn to Luke chapter 2, if you would, Luke chapter 2, we see this is the Christmas story. And here we have, starting at verse 8, Luke chapter 2, it says, his parents now bring him to Bethlehem. Here's that story, Joseph and Mary. And it says in verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And then, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known saying, which was told to them concerning the child. And all those who heard this marveled at those things which were told by them, by the shepherds. Interesting. When you think of the shepherds, God used these people, just like in the resurrection, he used women who were the first ones, unlikely people of that time. Shepherds were not allowed in the temple because they lived in the field. And if any of you have farms and you have sheep, you know, you can know where the sheep have been because what they leave behind them. Believe me, we had shepherds in Germany that would come through our streets, and the streets were really bad afterwards. So they were known to be defiled by their dirtiness. And yet, when we think about that, this is important to know that God uses everybody, even those ones that are not considered to be ones worthy. And that's something important. We don't think we're worthy, but you know what? God uses those type of people who are willing to say the truth of what Jesus is and what he's come to do. And so not to be ashamed of the gospel is very important. And that's what we did, going out and taking risks. Believe me, when you go out into a foreign land, you don't know everything, but you take a risk for Jesus' sake, and we see the gospel going out, and you know, and it's about stepping out in faith. And faith is so important to this church, to any church, actually. And when we go out in the missions, you got to remember one thing. Why we go is we're going to warn the sinner. The sinner, hey, there is a judgment, and you need to repent. This is what we're talking about. There is a message that we're talking about because we're dealing with a destiny, heaven or hell. That's how important the message that we have. And so when we look at this topic about going, you know what? We're all ambassadors for the kingdom. And we're to go out to all these different nations and preach the gospel. And that's what's so important. Because I know, like many of us experience, you go into areas to break up the fallow ground because the ground is hard. Maybe your whole mission trip, you don't see the great revival, but you're just pounding the ground so the ground will be able for the next team or the next missionaries that run through there can plant a seed. And then maybe those seeds are planted, but now we need somebody, another team, to come into water. Eventually, there will be a team that will come and will harvest. And that's what we're all looking. We're at. That's the body of Christ working as a mission, teams, and doing the work that they're supposed to be doing. So when you think about the gospel going to the nations, it's God wanting to reveal himself, that he loves them and he wants to redeem them. And remember, because we can forget this, we can sit comfortable here in Pittsburgh and not understand the end is coming. It's not going further away. It's coming closer to us. The time of the end is coming. There's a time of the Gentile. That's going to end. There's timings that are coming our way. And so we cannot just kick back. We got to understand that this church is to send out missions and to all different areas, whether local or abroad. And the one thing we have all known, I think, and I pray you do, is that the message of the cross, the message, what we're taking, the gospel, is that knowledge of the sufficiency of Christ, what he's able to do. He's able to save us. And that's very important. He's able to deliver us. And each one of us in this room has been delivered from something of some sort. And that's your testimony. You all in this room have a testimony. So I'm going to have the drama team come up here. We're going to show you a skit that we did in Brazil. And in this skit, this shows that very thing about the sufficiency of Christ, how he's able to save, and what he has done for us as believers. So the team's getting ready. Here we go. This skit impacted so many young people. We asked, because we went into schools and there was little kids and older kids, and we thought, can we show this skit to them? Is it appropriate? And they said yes, because there was already little kids in that elementary school that were being forced by drug dealers to sell drugs in the schools, in the system of their neighborhoods. Already, little kids. And so, listen, we see how this was very effective. And yet, going in, we had the ability, not only did we go into a Christian organized school system, but we also got into a public school system. And we encouraged the kids. And how we started off is with a dance. Okay? So I want you to watch this dance. And you look at the faces of these kids, because the kids got fired up. Never heard this song before. Never understood any of this. But this is what happened. Let us watch. As you can see, the kids, we had to connect with them. And this was our icebreaker. We got to reach them, and now we had their attention so we can do our skits and preach the gospel to them. So when you're dealing with little ones, we gotta get them fired up, and that's exactly what we did. Now, we're going to start sharing the testimonies, and the first one we're going to show is we had two mics on the team, okay? Our mic on the worship team, and then we had a good friend of mine that came that I grew up with. And he always asked me, can I ever go on a mission trip with you whenever you have an opportunity? Because he's never been. And so I called him. He said, I want to go. And the kid, everybody fell in love with him. And God touched his heart. So let us, Mike, they call him Kelly Mike for California. So California Mike. And so here's his testimony.
Hi, everybody. Hey, you guys, this is California Mike. Just saying, you know what? I've been washed by the Spirit of God. When I went with you guys out there, it hasn't stopped. It's still there. When I think about y'all, when I think about the times we had, but in reality, what I think about is how big God is. And it taught me that I had put him in a box, mm-hmm. and he was this little God in my life. But what I learned and what I took away from the trip was just that I'm how big he is, and how we've been through what we went through, where we went to experience worshiping God with people in a different language, with experiencing all the tongues and the tribes that we experienced it just made me realize that this God is so big, and no longer will I put him in this little box. But also I'm amazed that he would reach out and he would touch someone as insignificant and as small as me and use me in a way that would share the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout whatever my influence is, and that starts with my family, my beautiful wife, Carol, and everyone that I'm in touch with. So, you know what? It was an absolute blessing to meet you in South Pittsburgh. And I can't wait to one day see you guys again. God bless you. Bye.
With that, we will now have Mike come up and share his testimony.
All right. Bom dia. So, good morning in Portuguese. So I would say that there were maybe two things that the Lord worked on my heart and showed me while on this trip. One was, and it was a question posed by George Markey in Hungary, who works with The Bridge, was what does community mean? What does it look like? And how do you foster that when you're on the mission field? So there were a number of opportunities to create community within the group, with the people that we met down there, the church at Calvary Poibi, the people that we met, like Josh and the other translators, and to just show them the light and love of Christ through us, which I suppose dovetails into the second point was don't sweat the small stuff. The smallest things that we do in the kingdom can have the biggest impact. I had a lot of opportunities to share musically. I got to lead a couple songs in worship on Wednesday night, one of which was partly in Portuguese. I got to sing for Natasha, Pastor Everson's wife. She's originally from Ukraine, so I shared a Ukrainian song with her. And fellowship with the worship team that I had there. A couple of the ladies and Zach helped me on Wednesday night. It was an awesome time. We put together the songs the Wednesday before. They're awesome. But it was all in the Lord's doing. So I want to encourage all of you, if there's times when the enemy attacks you and makes you think, well, this doesn't matter, this is insignificant, you know, I'm just setting up the chairs Wednesday morning, I just put out the donuts, I just do this, I just do that. The smallest things in the kingdom of God can have the biggest impact. So church, don't sweat the small stuff.
Guys, it is really hard to pick something for 3 minutes. I'm going to generalize it. Community, this trip was, God met all of us a lot on this trip, from figuring out how to navigate the airport, to getting in Brazil, to fitting on a bus, to getting to the place we were staying, to meeting Marcos. There's a lot of people that I can't remember all their names, but there was Natalie, there was another girl. Marcos was a really big person that I think of. He was the guy that helped serve the food. He was always happy, and he was just part of our community. But God taught me that in our community, we have to learn to spread ourselves way thinner than we do. And that doesn't mean driving yourself down, but it just means making your family bigger than what you think it is. Because there's people in Brazil now, Pastor Everton and Natasha and Josh, these are people that are family now. They're part of our community, and they're people that we're going to remember forever, and Lord willing, we'll see them again. But they're people that taught us to, like Mike said, not sweat the small stuff, to share the gospel where we can, to reach the people we didn't think we could talk to people that don't speak our language, and to be a part of a culture that we're not traditionally a part of. But God met me more than I feel like I thought he was going to, and he helps me see that I was served while I was serving. So that was a really special thing.
Well, happy belated Thanksgiving, church family. Grateful for you guys supporting through prayer and financially getting us down to the land of Açaí. It's actually a Brazilian cherry there. It tastes like a tomato. Oh, yeah, this is the first thing we did. Pastor Everton picked us up from the airport. He's like, we got to get cheese balls. I thought he was talking about, like, the giant containers of, like, Heathrow from Walmart, but no, they were way better. Like, oh, yeah, so Poribi is the UFO capital of Brazil, so, like, the most sightings, you know. We also got to worship the same day we landed, which was awesome. Me and Mike got asked. Awesome pizza down there, olive oil based, no garlic in that one. We got to feed monkeys. And that was at the tribe. And it was cool because the one, the chief's daughter, her tribal name is Blue Butterfly. I got to give her a Blue Butterfly track, actually. Pretty cool. But also, I made up some Portuguese tracks, so definitely got to spread some seeds down there, you know, has the gospel message on there, and some scriptures in Portuguese. Was Mike sharing devotion time, and that was definitely a sweet time every morning, time to come together as a team, share on different topics. Yeah, here's Blue Butterfly and me. Look, there's a Fiori's pizza. yeah, definitely grateful for the opportunity, and what else can I say? I guess I got another 30 seconds. So basically, just speaking of like the alien, you know, thing, and it's a different like religious spirits. Like, there's like, this is a sweet girl. She was saying she got up in front of everyone. She was like, you know, you guys made my day because I like surprises. Yeah. And back to what I was saying, though, just the different religious spirits, which is in America, just like it is down there. You know, whether it's, you know, just all like works based. Like Pastor Everton and Natasha in their church are really fighting the good fight, you know, the gospel of grace, you know, and he's going through the book of Galatians with them right now. And yeah, keep praying for them and look for an opportunity to go on a trip. Oh, one more thing I want to mention, shout out to Aubrey for, we were doing the temporary tattoos, and yeah, she noticed there was like a few like just like kind of Catholic agenda. There was like a nun, there was like a floating wafer, so we put those aside. But other than that, yeah, it's a great time, and you guys should go on a trip or even just evangelize in wherever you're at. You know, it doesn't have to be halfway across the world. But thanks again.
So there's just two stories I wanted to share from Brazil. The first one, so we got there Saturday, and in the evening there was a women's conference. And so Martha spoke at it, and it was awesome. And then at the end, all of the women were just trying to talk to each other, trying to get past that language barrier. We were eating food. It was really great. And so towards the end of the night, I noticed a woman standing kind of by herself, and I just heard God tell me, like, go talk to her. And the first thought in my head was like, oh my gosh, what is awkward? Like, she doesn't speak English, I don't speak Portuguese. Like, how's this going to work? And I just let those thoughts, like, go away. And I was like, I'm obeying God in this. So I went up to her, and I was just like, English? And she said, no. So she pulled out her phone. She had Google Translate, which was a lifesaver for some. We were trying to speak through it, and it just was not working. We were trying this for, like, 8 minutes, trying to have a conversation, and it just wasn't working. And so everything started to wrap up. People started to leave. And I just told her, I was like, I'll see you tomorrow. And she was like, okay. And so she just gave me this hug, and it was like at least 10 seconds long. And it just, like, she was saying so many words through this hug. It was like, thank you for trying. Thank you for your effort and trying to talk to me. And it was just so sweet. We've talked about this so many times. I don't know why I'm crying now. But God really just showed me that you don't need words to communicate his love. And they were just so kind and so accepting of all of this love. And it just really made me, it made me realize that God makes me capable. Just like he makes all of you capable. There's nothing special about me, but it's Jesus in me, right? Through Christ, we're able to do it. But so that really just like set the scene for the whole week, and it was just opportunity after opportunity to go up to people and just try to talk to them, try to like give them a little cross bracelet that we brought. And it was just so, so sweet. I just really noticed how everybody there was so accepting of the love that we were given. And I just keep thinking, if people were like that here, we have so much love to give just in this one room. So if everybody would just accept that love, so many people would know Jesus. But we have to make the effort to step out and be uncomfortable and be awkward and take the risk of them rejecting us. But if we don't take that opportunity, they're never going to know Jesus. But So yeah, that's all.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, what is it?
I think y'all already know me, so I don't really have to give much of an introduction. I'm Emmanuel. I wanted to tell y'all my testimony about this missions trip. When I was told there was going to be a missions trip for Brazil, I kind of was disinterested and did not want to go. I was going to be the person who typically says, "Oh, I'm not called, I won't go." That same day that the announcement came out, God told me through prayer, "You need to go." And I said, "No." But then who was I to tell God no? God told Moses that he was going to speak, and Moses told him no, but God gave him Aaron to be his helper there. And same with Elijah. Not Elijah. Samuel, I'm sorry. I'm blanking out here. But God calls men to go speak his truth, and it's our choice to say yes or no. Because Jonah decided to say no, but in the end, God redirected him to tell the truth to the people. So when we went to Brazil, we had a lot of fun experiences, such as that image before that alien. That lady there, she was able to speak a bit of Spanish and actually helped my sister and I a few times to be able to speak with the children. I was the background guy. I was in charge of the sound. So if you notice a lot of the pictures there, I'm getting a lot of them. But there was a lot of background work that I did. I basically just set up the sound and made sure everything was up and running. And this is something that actually got me a little bit down for a bit. I felt like I wasn't really doing much. I felt like I was just going to Brazil just to operate the sound and that was it. And in the end, God still used that because I was still a part of the team. I had to make sure that everything was up and smooth. And when the music failed, there was this one time when the music just stopped and I was worried that it wasn't going to be impactful, but in the end, God still worked that for his good. There were children at the public school that admitted Jesus was Lord because they thought it was part of the script that the music went out. And in the end, I've never seen more kids be happy to hear the gospel presented, even if it was through allegories and puppets. I was joyful to see how God worked. Then one of the last few things was I'm going to sound probably controversial for this, for especially me, who doesn't like usually believe in this. I used to not think the gift of tongues was really a thing. I knew it was a thing back in the New Testament, but I kind of thought it's not really a thing now. And when we were there, the team was saying we should pray for the gift of tongues. Like, half-heartedly, we said it as a joke, but then actually literally. And I remember praying, and God said, "You should actually ask for it." And when we were there, my sister and I were able to partially translate for the people there, whenever we weren't with our translator. And when our translator was with us, we could not speak a single word. We could understand what people were saying, but we would not be able to utter anything in Portuguese. But whenever we spoke with people, we couldn't speak Portuguese, but we could speak Spanish, and the people could understand that. And God broke that barrier between our two languages. And it was beautiful to see. There was a person I spoke to, and he gave us a blessing to the team. There was some other lady I spoke to, and she was able to see the love of Christ that we had, even if it was just at a coffee shop. And yeah, it's not much, but I'm telling you guys, if God tells you to do something, do it. Even if it's awkward, listen to him, and he'll provide what you need.
Hi, everyone. I'm Misty Franks, if you don't know me, and I was really excited to get to go on this trip with my daughter, Aubrey, who's going to speak next. Whenever my job is very demanding from like mid-August through mid-March. So whenever they started talking about the trip, I was like, okay, you know, I'm just going to see when it is, because like it would have to fit in this exact time frame for me to be able to go. And out of the few weeks that I can squeak things out, it was the most perfect week that the trip was on. It even got moved back a week earlier, which was the perfect week. I knew the Lord was doing things and moving. I knew Aubrey showed interest in it, which was like a prayer of my heart. So I knew we were to go. And I'm kind of talking about before the trip, one of the things that the Lord did. But shortly after we were going, I started having a lot of anxiety about it, like that her and I were going. My husband wasn't going with us on this trip. Even though, you know, we had a team from church, I just was really kind of not settled. And the one day I came into church and I was standing there and we started singing. I came in a little late as I always do, so I was rushing in and stood in there and started singing these words. And as I was singing the words of the song, I all of a sudden heard what I was singing. And it was the song, and it said, "Where you send us, God, we will go. You're the answer we want the world to know. We will trust you when you call our name. Where you lead us, we'll follow all the way." And as I was singing it, I was singing it. And I was like saying this to the Lord. And then I don't know if it was that Sunday or shortly after, we had one of our missions meetings where those who were interested in going were there. And one of the sweet ladies who did not end up going with us, but she was there, and we were having a time of prayer. And she was praying and she said, "Lord, you are moving upon the hearts of people. And those you want there, you are moving. You are having them go." And I took my eyes off of myself and the things I was thinking or this or that and realized this is a God thing, which I should have thought all along. But God is the one who is moving among the hearts of people. He was bringing the people there who he had purpose for, who he had purpose for, Emmanuel, who he had purpose for all of us. And he was bringing us and he was knitting us together as a team. And after those instances, not once did I face anxiety again about going. And one of my favorite verses is in Isaiah, and it says that you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts you. And that's what we need to do. So I'm hoping that is an encouragement to somebody today, that when our mind and our eyes are stayed on Jesus and we're steadfast on him, that he provides us with perfect peace. So again, it was wonderful getting to be there with my daughter. Thank you, Lord, for that. And for the team, just working together, there was 14, and then with Callie, Mike, 15 of us who came together. And whatever the purpose was of the Lord, that's what we did. And it was really a sweet thing, getting to know each other more and doing his work. I think I'm past my 3 minutes, but there is just wonderful things. Just very quickly, a lot of the things people touched on with the worshiping was the first time I ever worshiped with like multi-languages going on at the same time. And as they were singing in Portuguese and we were singing the same song in English to the same Almighty God, it was an amazing thing. And as Callie Mike said in his video about how all nations, all tribes, all tongues are going to worship, our hope and our future of being in heaven together, singing and glorifying Almighty God, it was an amazing thing. Also, at the very end, yes, praise to God. Just one other small thing. At the very end, we got to go into a tribal community. So we were in the city of Puivi, but there, whenever we went to this overlook, you could see just this area of forest, and doors were open. This was not on our agenda, but doors were open that our team could go in there, and nobody knew what to expect because nobody's been there before to minister. But we went in there, and the purpose was to build a bridge, to show love, to make a connection. So that, as Edmund said, whenever we're not there, the next group that goes is able to continue the work of the Lord there. And I was reminded of something my youth pastor always said growing up, but we are to build bridges into people's lives to earn the right to speak to them. And I just want to encourage us with that, just like Monica was saying, like, this is what we're doing as the body of Christ, that we're building bridges so that people can know Jesus. And we do need to earn the right to speak to them by making relationship. So it was really exciting. Super thankful to be able to go and for the team that went. And I thank you all for praying for us and sending us.
Okay, I'm going to try not to cry because Callie and Mike already made me cry. So there was two main things that the Lord showed me on this trip. The first one was Brad was able to speak at the service on Sunday at the church we were at. And something he said was he shared a quote by Saint Francis of, I don't know, Assisi. Yeah, that one. And he said, go out and share the gospel, and if necessary, use words. And that really spoke to me. I know it spoke to a lot of other people. But just the fact that we couldn't communicate with them, but through our actions and a hug and just like a smile and a wave, they would smile and wave back, and they would just run into your arms and like melt into you, and they would give you a hug. And just the thought that our actions really do speak louder than our words. Because when you can't communicate with someone, all you can do is just give them a smile or a wave, and it could change their day. Something else is, before we left, Cindy wrote little verses on, like, little Jesuses. You guys know I'm talking about those little Jesuses? And that just has something to do with what I'm saying. But the chapter, Philippians 4 continued to come up, and like every day we were there in some sort of crazy way. The first day when we got there, we had a 3-hour bus ride from the airport to the Puebi where we were staying. And Monica's like, let's do a Bible study. I'm like, that sounds great. So she shared Philippians 4 with us. And that night when we went to the women's service at the church, there was this girl named Kalani. But she was sharing just her troubles with us, and she related so much to Philippians 4, and the fact that it was so clear in our head that because we just read it really was like a blessing. And when we were in the vans on the way to somewhere else, the pastor's daughter Gabby, which I'm very thankful for her, she had this little Jesus that Cindy gave her. Oh, yeah, not that one. I forgot those pictures up there. That one. The one standing beside me. She's in the little red shirt. That's Gabby. But she had this little Jesus that Cindy gave her. And I flip it over. She hands it to me. I flip it over. Philippians 4 is on the bottom of it. And the crazy thing is Cindy wrote so many different verses on these bottom of these Jesuses. And the one that she picked up and gave to me was Philippians 4. So Cindy encouraged me to just meditate on that verse, and the Lord showed me that there's really nothing to be anxious for, and that he's leading me in every way. So yeah, my 3 minutes is up, but
yes, God.
I am gonna cry. So I originally was going on the trip. We were supposed to be building the new church for Pastor Everton and his church family down there. He was afraid they were going to grow out of that building, and that came to a halt. I kept feeling like I was still led to go. Today, as we were singing, "Yet not I, but through Christ in me," it's not about me. It's about Christ working through me. We're supposed to live our faith, use our daily actions, our treatment of others, and general conduct should reflect our beliefs and be a testament to our faith. Our actions, they should speak louder than our words. Demonstrating kindness, compassion, and integrity is a form of preaching that can be seen and felt by others. And when we need to use them, we need to use our words when they're necessary. While actions are powerful, words are needed to be fully explained the good news. So my main connection I had on the trip was through Marcos. He knew a little bit of English, but not much. And I knew zero Portuguese. So every day I kept trying to talk to him, and the same thing is, I don't understand, you know. And that's where Google Translate came in handy. He was so excited I was able to show him how to use it on his phone. Every day he would come up to me and we would have a conversation. Not through words, but through a phone. I was so thankful for that. This trip was an exhausting trip, as you could tell from some of the pictures. But God gave us the strength that we needed to go through each and every day. And I was thankful for this trip because I got to share it with my daughter. And she's going to speak now because I'm done.
This is very scary.
Okay. So
on this trip, at first, I did not want to go at all. It was, an option for me to go, but, I did not want to go. But one day I sat at one of the meetings because my dad was going to go, and, I heard, what was all going to go on. And I was like, okay, this sounds, exciting, but I still did not want to go. And then I just felt, this, rush of, peace go through me, and I was like, you're meant to go. So... So I was like, okay, what do I do now? So the next day we just started with all this stuff for me to go on this trip. And yeah. Also on this trip, one thing that stood out to me and a lot of other people is that you can use your actions to show Christ and not just your words. And that just really spoke out to me because I'm not really a big talker at all. So that just really stood out for me, and yeah. We also we had a lot of experiences when we were there. One of them was I don't remember their name, but we went to this house for a birthday party, and this girl, what's her name again? Isabella made us all pictures, and I brought it today. And when I was coming to church today, I opened my bag and I found this in here, and I was I was so excited to see it. But yeah, that's all I have.
Hi guys. Basically I wanted to share a story of when we went down there. I think my brother touched on it a little bit when we went to the public schools. There was a lot of kids who came from poor families, and I think it was really cool because I don't remember who told us, but when we were going in, they told us that beforehand there were a lot of people who taught them voodoo, who had come in and done voodoo presentations, and how they had a very strong hold on this community. And I remember they told us that the teacher, who was kind of our inside man, they were the staff was pushing back on them, no, these Christians can't come here. And then they're you have to talk to the directors and stuff. And then she kind of power moved it. And she was but you guys didn't ask the directors when you guys brought your voodoo people. And then they were oh, chat. Yeah, okay, we fall back. And so we were able to go in and share and do the skits and everything. And I just thought it was so powerful because everyone there was just there for a reason. Like Emmanuel said, the audio kind of sounds not important, but it's so important. And I think the way the enemy attacks is he always attacks the important things. And it's he attacked the audio, it stopped working. And we're in this place with hundreds of kids, probably the biggest group we've seen. And we're standing there. We're doing the skit and the audio goes out, and we're I guess the show has to go on. So we keep doing the skit, And at the very end of the skit, when, like, Jesus breaks every chain, like, he breaks the ropes and everything, like, all these kids, they, like, in the crowd, they're like, Jesus, Jesus, and they're chanting. I'm like, that's the best reaction I've ever seen. And so that really, like, just, it touched me a lot with the fact that, like, these kids, I don't know how many of them got saved or how many of them really understood it, but the fact that the seed was planted was just so beautiful to see. And there was a lot of, like, this verse that kept coming into my head. I was like, some sow, some reap, some, like, do the harvest stuff, right? And, like, a lot of the time, the stuff we were doing there, I've heard, like, other mission trips, like, a lot of my friends, they, like, tell me their mission trips, and they're, like, praying out demons, they're, like, seeing people getting healed, like, lame walking and stuff. And so I was like, I wonder if I'll see that there, and I didn't. And at one point, I was like, what is the Lord trying to teach me through this? And it was like, the Lord was teaching me that there's so much importance in the sowing and the tending the ground, because it's so easy to want, like, this microwavable Christianity where there's, like, revival and 100 people are getting saved at once. And so the Lord was really showing me how to be patient and how to have this Christ-centered, long-suffering, patient Christianity where it's, like, it's growth, and that's what, like, the Lord wants. He wants growth. He wants genuine relationship with him and not just feelings. And so I just think it's so important that, like, sowing seeds, like, wherever, like, even just going on this trip, like, a lot of them, like, a lot of us were feeling like we didn't actually want to go. It's, like, in the middle of October. It's, like, are we really supposed to go? And especially with, like, midterms. Midterms are literally in October. I study in the University of Pittsburgh, if you don't know. So, like, midterms are crazy hard. And I was, like, I don't know if I should go just because, like, I want to go, but maybe it's just me wanting to go. And when I went, like, everything happened. I came back. And, like, the day I come back, I have to go to school. And or the day after came Sunday. Monday, I had to go to school. And everyone there in my studio, like, architecture, you have, like, small studios of 20 kids. And they're not Christians. They don't know anything. And they're like, but they know I went on a missions trip. I know it just opens so many opportunities for that sowing seed. They're like, what did you do on your missions trip? How was it? What? And it was just so amazing to see how, like, God just moved in every situation. And I just think that it's so, maybe, like, an encouragement for you guys that sowing seeds is so important. Wherever you're at school, at work, literally sowing seeds can be so little, but it's so important because how will they, in Romans 14, it says, how will they hear unless there's a preacher? And so how a lot of, like, my people, friends from the trip were saying, they're saying, like, it's like showing that love, it's spreading it. And so how are people going to hear if we're not willing to show Christ's love to them, if we're not willing to take that step of being uncomfortable for just a second and talk to him about it? So that's what I learned a lot.
Good morning, church. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Cindy Ebert. I am Brad's wife, also known as Brad's wife. So we were called to go on this trip, and I just have one slide because the most important thing that I experienced was the picture in the middle. The picture in the middle was what Liz was talking about when we were at the secular school, at the public school, and we were doing the skit, the team was doing the skit. At the end of that skit, there were children standing up, cheering, Jesus, Jesus, just out loud, they were cheering it. And this was a school that Liz had said that we were not welcomed in. They didn't want us there for all intents and purposes, but somebody wanted us there. And something that we talked about in our devotion time and just time with the team was that all it takes is one person to want you there, right? That's all it took. And so one teacher wanted us there. And one teacher was that segue to get us into that school. So that one seed that we're planting that we're all talking about today, it's just that one seed. That's all it takes, just that one seed, right? And that's what we're called to do. But when I was talking to some of my amazing friends today about, I have no idea what I'm gonna say, because I'm a preparer and I prepare everything. I just wanted the focus to be on Christ. Just keep it on him. Just everything that we did was for him and for his glory. So when Tim was talking about this morning, about Isaiah 6, and about how the Lord is holy, holy, holy. You know, Mike Reynolds had said this in one of his preaching once about how God is only called holy, holy, holy. And that's it. He's the only one who has that title, holy, holy, holy. So everything that we do, we're going out and we just want them to see the light of Christ through us. We don't want them to see us. Just like Matt said, just like the lady said, just like we're all saying, it's not about us. It's about them seeing Christ in us and through us and every action that we're doing, every hug we're giving, every tear we're crying, every verse we're reading. It's about him, not about us. And that's what this is about. So yeah, we experienced these amazing things, and I was so blessed to be able to experience it with my husband. But you know who else experienced it? This little girl that's at the top right corner of the screen. Well, you don't know this, but she was deaf. And she had a translator there who was translating the whole time. And every time that she would be translating, she'd have this giant smile on her face, this beautiful smile on her face. And the translator had a smile on her face. Like, it was amazing. And that's why I included that little girl, because that one, just the one. Let's just go after the one. We're not here for everybody, right? Maybe just that one. Everything we're saying is just for whoever needs to hear it that day. So I am just so in awe of just everything the Lord is doing, has done, and continues to do in not just my life, my family's life, my husband's life, this church, which you are our family. We are just excited just to keep going forward with it. Lord, lead us. And like my husband says all the time, is that we just want to be servants with our hands out of our pockets, ready and available and willing. That's what we want to be. So, yeah. And now Brad.
Hello, everybody. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Brad Ebert, and I actually like want to talk about all my pictures. That's why I put them up there, because they all have a purpose. But I'm going to get to. But before I do this, I went to Tennessee last year, and that was the first mission trip I ever went on. And it was great. It was a real blessing, but I just felt like all of me wasn't there because my wife didn't go with me. And when I came home, I remember telling her, I said, you know, it was a blessing, it was awesome, but I want to experience these things with you. So we made the agreement that we would never do mission work without each other again. And that picture there is of Cindy giving her devotion. And I tell you what, this was a real blessing for me. Because Ephesians 5, it says this, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. And my wife gave a devotion. I've never seen her teach because I don't go to women's events because I'm allowed. So, you know, it was just a blessing to see the Lord's work through her, to see the fruit that it's producing in her life. And the Lord is washing her with the water from the word. And I saw scripture playing out in front of my eyes. And I've seen a transformation of my wife over the last 5 or 7 years. I just want to say thank you for selling out for the gospel with me. And then now I can have you by my side, and I have the best spell checker in the world, and she's the great graphic designer. Who could stop us now? Right? Seriously, the woman could spell anything. You can ask her after the service. So anyway, so that's Daniel. Daniel was a little boy that was at one of the places called Relief, which is restoring lives for eternity is what it means. So this little boy, after we did the skits and everything, he walks up to me. You know, yeah, me, the ogre, right? I mean, he must have loved Shrek or something, because why me? Oh, they got all these pretty girls there and these normal looking guys, and he picks this guy. I can't understand him, of course. I can barely speak English. Ask the translators from Brazil. I get my phone out, Google Translate, and he says, what you did through the translator broke my heart. And I went to my translator and said, would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior? And I showed it to him, and he shook his head yes. And I grabbed Everton. I probably remember my shoulder, I was so excited. Carried him over, and we did the sinner's prayer with that little boy right there, Daniel. Danielle is how they pronounce it. So at first I thought it was a girl because he had really long hair with ponytail. That don't matter though. But anyways, he gave his life to Christ right there. And then we got a backstory. And what I want you to realize is most of these kids don't have dads. They don't have parents, period. They're either in jail or they're dead. And there was a point at one of these things where I was feeling very withdrawn from the group. Not sad, just like I was like, I'm just kind of here. And I was just standing there, and these two little boys walked up to me, and they said, ball. And I went, I understand that. So we went up, and we hit volleyball together. Never played volleyball in my life. And I thought to myself, these boys probably don't have a dad. And they pulled me back in because I felt like I was, like I said, I wasn't sad, but I felt like I was not doing anything. and he pulled me back in. But, God, you can let it roll. That this is probably the most important picture from when we went to the tribe. And you're probably going to be like, okay, that looks really cool, Brad. What's that all about? But while we're throwing spears and shooting bows and running around the beach collecting seashells and doing all these fun things with the tribe, which is great, I look over and I see that. And I had my wife take a picture. That's Pastor Everton sharing with the chief's daughter. And that's the most important thing that happened that day. Because just like he said, planting seeds is what we were there to do. And whether or not we ever go back or we ever see these people again, our prayer should be that somebody will go back in there and water so that we can harvest, so that their souls can be saved. Most important part of that whole thing with the tribe. That's just a picture of me and Cindy. We've got our tribal paint on, and we made sure it wasn't, you know, voodoo or anything. It's just stuff they do for fun. The dots mean she's, okay, that ain't one of my pictures. Did I put that in there? Where's my time up? My time's up. Okay. Well, that's all I got, I guess.
Okay. Well, it was just so amazing how God put the team together. From crazy Aubrey to quiet Zach, you know what I mean? Because I remember, you know, I was looking at the team and I was like, oh, this is great. We got some young people. They have the energy. You know what I mean? They're able to keep on going. But you know what? I'm telling you something, that this team was amazing. They worked hard and they were willing to do anything. And it was amazing. Like they were, hey guys, we're up. You know, it was just a constant, okay, we're doing this, we're doing that. And you saw them all in the van, all asleep and tired, but God really blessed our time together in Peruby. Peruby, Pastor Everton, he has a vision to start an after-school program like the ones we went to. I had never done a mission trip where the whole week was just children. I usually go out in the streets and, you know, do street witnessing, but this team, this was very different, but it was so powerful because I'll say, like what they've been saying about the seeds, planting the seeds. We didn't have a lot of time to talk to the kids because we were doing like assemblies in schools, you know, where you come in, you do all this stuff, and all of us didn't speak Portuguese, and we had very little, what is it called, translators. So Google Translator was our best friend, you know what I mean? And so, But what was so amazing is, like, what the Lord showed me, when these guys would go up and do these skits, you guys saw it, how powerful the gospel message. That was our voice from God, because we were not able to speak, you know. And at that one school, they didn't want us there. So we couldn't even put sin. Like, we had the skit that you put sin in front of it, and you had to put, you know, the girl gets stuck in the sin in the box. Well, we had to put it something else. I think we put, like, when you're in trouble or something, or what? What? Oh, temptation. Yeah, so we had to use another word. And you know what? These guys, we were voiceless, but we had the power of God. The power of God came so powerful through the skits. We didn't have to speak. God spoke through the skits and spoke through each and every one of the team members. It was so powerful. And when they would be up there, I would be in the back praying, and the Lord showed me a vision, you know, because I said, Lord, we can't even talk to these people. What are we going to say to the people when we get back? You know, kind of like all the people that came to the Lord and everything. But the Lord showed me, I saw two big hands like this together, and a wind blew all these seeds. There was like hundreds of seeds being blown onto these kids, because Pastor Everton, he right now is building relationships, you know, and he was saying, we can't blow it. You know what I mean? When we go into the school, we can't mention Jesus. We can't share the gospel like with our mouths, but they were able to do it with the skits. And that was so powerful. It also spoke to me, like, we don't need words. You know what I mean? God's, that was the gospel. The gospel is what's the power that we have in our hands to be able to give out. So, anyways, we got there, and we got there running to Perubi. We got there after, what, how many hours? 11-hour flight from Atlanta? Okay, so, oh, wow, 11 hours, and we got to share with the women. We had a women's event, and some women saw, okay, it's over. Okay, forget it. I didn't even get to talk about Bible college. All right, it's okay. I mean, you could share about Bible college.
When right after the team went home, Martha and I stood one more week, and there's a picture. Maybe you could put the next picture. We went to Calvary Chapel San Vicente. This is the first Calvary. This is their shirt. And we ended up ministering at the Bible college there. And I went last year. Me and Pastor Tim were supposed to go, and that's when Pastor Tim got sick. And so I went, and all the girls were asking me, well, how about your wife, and how about this? Well, how did you meet her? And I FaceTimed Martha. I go, look, and I was telling her. And so this time she was able to come, and she was used so much to minister to these young girls. And our hearts is really to minister to these young students, because those are the students that are going to go out into Brazil and plant churches. So that is our heart, to see this next generation rise up, teach them, encourage them, and that they go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nation. So it was awesome. And we want to close with a song. And so we can have the worship team come up here. And they're gonna sing a song that they did in Brazil, and you will see.
That on there. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to do the song, and then we'll obviously be done for today. But I want to tell you something that the Lord put on our hearts, and I want the ushers to be available here. So you're saying, well, how can I get involved? Well, the Bible tells us right around our own families, share the gospel. Amen. So we got some cards back there. They're calendars. And on the back, they sort of explain the gospel. We have 2,000 of them. We'd like to give them all away by 2026. They're going to give you, everybody's going to take about 10 or 15, give them away. Yep. Sam has them right there, back there in the photo booth. The other thing is, listen now. Come on. You uncomfortable yet? Well, here, let's get real uncomfortable. December 13th, Saturday, noon, PPG tree. Christmas tree. There'll be a gazillion that's confirmed. People in downtown Pittsburgh. Cindy and some other folks and Xander, we all created a gospel tract. We connected it to 900 candy canes, but we got to give them out. And two people can't give them out. So we need a lot of you to meet us at the tree. At noon on December 13th, Saturday, to give these out. If you want to be a part of what these guys are doing, you can go to Brazil, praise the Lord. But you can go downtown Pittsburgh too, okay? And so we're inviting you to come to that. These guys are going to sing, and I'll get out of here.
Hello? I know what you're thinking. That's not a bass. So this was the closing song that we did when we led worship on Wednesday night down in Brazil. Most of the song that you'll recognize, it's in English, but what I decided to do was translate the chorus into Portuguese. The English lyrics will be up there, but we'll sing the chorus in Portuguese.
Himself in life. quando sai bene, qual grande o meu Deus, age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end.
Team, we just want to thank you for sending us, for praying for us. And dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful time together where we can share not the things that we did, because we were just the vessels for you, Father, to show what just ordinary people can do, the great and the small and everything in between. God, this mission trip had you in it and through it and all over it. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that, and we're humble by what you were able to do through us. And so as we leave this place here today, let us be reminded that the mission field isn't miles away in Europe. It's not down in Brazil. The mission field is in our backyards. It's in our neighborhoods. It's in our workplaces. And so that let's go to the ends of the earth, wherever that may be, wherever you called us, to share the good news of the gospel to the hurting and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all, everybody. God bless.